Welcome to the Business Change Your World Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the fabulous Ms. Minette Riordan. Minette, won't you take it from here?
Awesome. Thank you so much. For anybody that listened to the last call with Katrina Sawa, if you didn't, go back and listen. It rocks. She's so full of great information. And I was telling Tanya, it feels like so much fun. We were all just together at the Public Speakers Association conference in San Antonio, Texas, my hometown, so extra fun. It's always fun to be a tourist in your own town. And so I decided to share the same topic with you today that I shared at the conference last week, which is how to get bigger sponsors for your live events. And I'm going to be sharing three strategies for enrolling some of those high-dollar sponsors. And I'm also going to be telling you how you can get more training and information from me on this topic at the end as well. So stay tuned for that. And I am sharing this information because I have a lot of experience hosting live events and was very successful selling these sponsorships. And I think it was because I knew exactly who it was that I was targeting. So I'm going to share more about that with you. But I also want to share some of the challenges that I experienced in my business along the way. And for 11 years, I owned a multimedia publishing company. We printed a parenting magazine, which I grew from a small quarterly newspaper where we were printing about 20,000 copies a quarter. And I was driving around Plano, Texas and Collin County, Texas, distributing those out of the back of my minivan and meeting a lot of my clients face-to-face. It was a great experience in really learning how to make connections and how to sell on the spot, walking into places, asking them if they would distribute my magazine. And so I got some really first-class training from the get-go, which was awesome because I knew nothing about marketing and sales when I started my business. I have a doctorate from Stanford University in Spanish, long story. And when I had kids, I got tired of being a stay-at-home mom and decided I needed something to do, so I started a parenting magazine. That's the long-winded story very briefly. So I dove into this publishing company thinking that, oh, this will be fun. I'll figure it out as I go. And the business kind of just took off. We quickly grew from this small quarterly newspaper to a monthly magazine where we were distributing 50,000 copies through over 300 locations around the Metroplex. And we were grossing hundreds of thousands of dollars, but we were always really struggling with our cash flow. And to be profitable in the publishing industry, you really have to have multiple magazines, which I didn't know that when I started. It was one of the big lessons that I had to learn. So one of my money-making ideas was to host a family expo. I had my own way to get the word out about the event through my magazine, to our website. And, you know, social media was just really starting to grow at that time. This was in, I think our first event was maybe in 2005, 2006. I'd already been in business for about 5 years, so I had quite a good following already. And I thought, oh, it'll be easy to put on this expo. And, you know, nothing's ever as easy as you think it is. And the expo was successful in so many ways. We got really lucky the first year. There was, this is kind of before the economy crashed. And what I learned was that the people who was sponsoring my event wanted the same things as my vendors and also as the people who were advertising my magazine. They wanted to get increased visibility in front of their target audience, which was the same as mine, kids and families. And I'm going to talk more about why understanding who your audience is the number one key to finding the right sponsors for your event in a few minutes. So this went on for a couple of years, and we never had quite as much success in the following years as we did that first year, but it continued to be profitable. And in fact, those events were profitable enough that they kept my entire business afloat for a number of years because we were really good at getting sponsors and vendors for those events. And then I had this really crazy, crazy day in my business. I came back from vacation. I had been away for 2 weeks in Nova Scotia with my family. My husband's family has cottages on the coast there. And I showed up in my office, and I'm wearing shorts and a T-shirt. I'm totally jet-lagged. And I walk into the office, and my business manager tells me that we don't have enough cash in the bank to make payroll. And it was a really hard moment. You know, I felt pretty sick to my stomach. My highest value was always to make sure that my people got paid first. It often meant that I didn't get paid, and especially when cash was tight. And I could see all the cash that I needed sitting in receivables. But the economy was really tough, and we were having a hard time collecting on that cash. So my heart really dropped, and I had no idea in that moment where to come up with the money. And that point in our business, we had invested our own personal savings into trying to save our publishing company. And the events were helping keeping us afloat, but we were still really struggling with cash flow. And as I'm sitting in my office trying to figure out where I'm going to come up with the money I needed to make payroll, my front doorbell rings and this flood of people flows into my conference room. My manager comes to get me, and I walk into the conference room to be told that I had just won the Small Business Owner of the Year award by my local Chamber of Commerce. And in that moment, I didn't feel like I really deserved that award. I felt pretty ashamed that, you know, how could I win this award when I can't even make payroll today? And it took me a long time to make peace with that moment and to realize that all businesses at some point or other tend to struggle with cash flow, that it was a common problem. But I felt out of my league with trying to figure this out and how to turn this company profitable. And it was a real turning point for me in my business where it really made me take a lot more responsibility for the finances and paying attention to where the profit was coming from and realizing in that moment that these events were what were really making us profitable. And then on that same day, so here I am, I find out I'm broke, I win this big award, and on the same day this guy calls, he's interested in buying my business. It was like the craziest day ever. And he didn't end up buying my business, which is a total blessing in disguise. In order to sell a business, you got to get all your financials together. We had the company evaluated. I learned so much about my company, about what I wanted to create and what I didn't want to create. And I really was able to see where my strengths were and to feel really proud of what I had created. I really was grossing hundreds of thousands of dollars. I think our best year we grossed $354,000 in that company, which is a lot of money. And yes, I made some mistakes. And yes, I struggled with managing cash flow. But because of that crazy day, I was totally able to turn it around, really understand where the profit was in my business, and make some pretty dramatic changes to get our business where it was solvent again and where it was making money again. And eventually I sold that company and I moved to Santa Barbara, California just 3 years ago. June 10th was our 3-year anniversary. It was the best thing we ever did for our lives and for our family. And I live less than 2 miles from the beach. My husband and I both work from home, and I get to really spend my time teaching creative entrepreneurs like myself how to find the profit in their business by avoiding some of the mistakes that I made, and also by sharing some of the sales secrets that I learned along the way. Because one of the things that I learned was that I'm great at sales. I am great at making money. I'm not always the best one at holding on to it, but I'm great at generating income in my businesses. So the first strategies that I'm going to share with you work whether you're trying to enroll a high-dollar sponsor for a program or a live event, or you're just simply trying to enroll more clients in your programs. So I'm going to dive right into these four strategies, and I know I'm going to go pretty high level with these. Like I said, I want to share an opportunity with you how you can learn more about this, but hopefully this will give you enough information to get started and to really get out there and start looking for the right sponsors for your events. And one of the things that Katrina Sawa always talks about that I'm so appreciative of is follow-up. And I'll touch on that a little bit. But again, if you didn't listen to her call, make sure you go back and listen, because I think a big secret to her success has been how religiously she follows up. And we were both in advertising sales for a long time. So I love promoting her and what she does. I think she's really brilliant. So strategy number one to enrolling high-dollar sponsors is that you need to have an ideal sponsor profile. The biggest mistake I see people make when they are planning an event is to chase a sponsor because they think that sponsor has money or because the size of the company seems like they ought to have money. But not every company or organization is a good match for your business. It's important to know as much as possible about a potential sponsor ahead of time. Some of the things that you need to think about who else is that company sponsoring? Do they even sponsor live events like the one that you're hosting? Are they trying to reach the same demographic that you are? What matters most, especially to bigger companies, is increased visibility to the perfect audience. The audience has to be a match. So if you don't know who's showing up at your event, then you're already behind the ball. So, for example, when North Texas Kids was hosting these big family expos, we knew exactly who was going to show up because we were very clear about who the readership of our magazine was. So these were primarily families with preschool and elementary school-aged children. We weren't attracting middle schoolers or teenagers. We were really aged out by the end of elementary school. So we knew we were going to have a lot of families with young kids in the audience. And we were able to pull in anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 people for all of our events, depending on which event it was. One of the mistakes we made was thinking that because our one big fall event was so successful that we could repeat that in the spring. And what we found was that we split our audience and we also split our sponsorships. And spring ended up being more of a break-even event, whereas our fall event was always highly profitable. So we learned some big lessons about, you know, when to target sponsors, when people would show up, and how to time our events effectively. But one of the reasons we were so successful at bringing in those high-dollar sponsors was we knew exactly who it was that would benefit the most from being exposed to our audience, and we could guarantee them all the demographics and psychographics about those young families that were showing up because of where we held our event and because we had done so much research into the demographics and psychographics of our readership for our magazine. So it has to be a match from the sponsor's perspective. So really thinking carefully about who else is trying to reach the same people that you're trying to reach. So know what the sponsor's marketing objectives are. Know what types of other events they have sponsored. Do they have the same target audience? Excuse me. And what do they want from an event? This is a really crucial question to ask yourself. Take the time to do your research online, but then when you do get an opportunity to speak to them either in person or on the phone, be a great listener. Focus on building the relationship first with that particular client or that particular sponsor so that you know what it is that they're looking for in terms of events. What kind of visibility do they want? Do they want to be on site? Do they just want to have representation? Do they just want to be in the goodie bags? Do they want their name on banners? Do they want stage time so that they can actually speak to the audience? So really investing time and energy in getting to know what they want is the number one secret to enrolling those high-dollar sponsors. I'm going to take a quick drink of water here. Strategy number two is to create a super sexy sponsor package. Another mistake I see people make is underestimating or not being just hyper clear about what the sponsors want from you. You must take the time to ask questions and to listen. What's important to your ideal sponsor? So given that, you have to be really clear about what you have to offer. What can you offer that nobody else can? How can you create visibility beyond and around the event itself? Sponsorships are all about playing the numbers game, and the more potential eyeballs, the higher the perceived value. So, for example, when we had the magazine, we were able to offer our sponsors print advertising and online advertising in addition to their presence at the event. So it was a high level of increased perceived value. We included their logos and all of our advertising on our other media sponsors for the event. So we were able to really give them a lot of representation, not just in our own media that we own, but also in all the other media that we were using to promote our events as well. And that media and that visibility often lasted much longer than just the day of the event. So the more that you can really just augment and grow the opportunity for having their name seen. Blogs, so for, I would say currently today we have so much opportunity to do this. Blog posts interviews, video testimonials, or video stories. You have so many opportunities with your own social media to promote your sponsors. Don't underestimate the amount of value that you bring with your audience to increase the visibility of a potential sponsor. Take every opportunity into account when you're putting together that super sexy sponsor package so you make sure you're exposing them as many different places as possible. So strategy number three is knowing how to pitch your event without sounding like a used car salesman. So how do you do that? It's really pretty simple. And it's what we all want. None of us, well, you know, there are definitely some classic salespeople out there who are really good at the old-fashioned hard sales pitch, and they can be very intense. But most of us, especially if we're new at sales or we're new at hosting events, it's not how we want to sell, and it's not how we want to be perceived. And I'm here to tell you that there is actually a better way to sell that will really increase the connection, the opportunity, and create a sponsor who will keep coming back year after year. And there's four simple strategies for doing that, for learning how to pitch something without sounding like a used car salesman. First of all, think service first. Let me take another quick sip of water. I've been talking all day. It's been a full and wonderful day, but my voice is getting a little tired, so I apologize for that. So think service first. When you go to reach out to a potential sponsor, don't go in with an attitude of, you have to help me, or I'm just trying to get money out of you. Go in with an attitude of collaboration and really showcasing the opportunity for them that you're bringing. So how can you best be of service? Why is your event a match for them? So really talking about the benefits to them over why it's going to serve you. It's really important to always focus on their needs first. Second, be curious. Ask lots of questions. What do they love about events? What do they not like about events? What was their favorite event they've sponsored? What are they looking for? Get really curious. Ask some really insightful questions about, you know, what would be best benefit to them. Ask them. They will tell you what it is that they want, and then you can decide if it's something that you can provide or not, or something that you can incorporate into a proposal. And then the third trick is to really just listen. I think the biggest mistake that I see salespeople make in general is that they talk too much. And if we just be quiet and listen, people will often talk themselves into working with you, or they will ask a question that really clearly shows you what their biggest problem is or what their biggest concern is, so that you have the opportunity to address that problem and address that concern. So become a better listener. And then finally, the fourth tip for being able to pitch your event without sounding like a used car salesman is to be concise. Don't give people too much information. Don't talk too much. Don't go on and on. Don't tell them your personal story, especially when you're working with companies, and bigger companies in particular. Their time is really precious, and they value your time. So focus on what the benefit is to them. Get curious. Listen, ask questions, and then be very concise in your responses. Don't ramble. So this means that you need to know exactly what it is that you have to offer. And I encourage people to script out their sales conversations, what they want to say, because it will help you feel really confident and not feel like you're rambling when you sit down to talk to somebody, because there's nothing worse than someone who's talking in circles and you can't get a clear answer about exactly what it is that they want to share with you. So before I share with you about strategy number four, I want to share how I can support you in identifying your ideal sponsors, creating that sexy sponsor package, and knowing exactly how to pitch your event. So on my website, on MinetteRiordan.com, which the link, I believe, is right below the recording on the page, but it's MinetteRiordan.com/sponsors, you can find all the details about a home study program called Bigger Sponsors, or called Big Sponsors, Bigger Profits. And it's basically four modules where I really take you on a deep dive into all the information that I'm sharing at a high level with you today, so that you have the chance to actually create all the materials that you need. I will help you identify the right types of sponsors. I will also help you understand what to put into a sponsor proposal and a sponsor package. I will help you with your sales pitch. So all those pieces are included in these four different modules. There's also a couple of great bonuses. One is I'm going to share with you my five best secrets for keeping sponsors and vendors happy. Tanya participated in a lot of my events. She can tell you that I kept my vendors happy. I spent the whole day roaming around the show, talking to people, making connections, and making sure that they're happy. So really understanding how to keep sponsors and vendors happy so they'll come back over and over again to your events. Because what we all want is to have these long, lasting loyal relationships with our potential sponsors. I'm going to also share with you my three simple strategies for how to drive more traffic to your event. Remember, I've been in the media industry. I was in the media industry for 11 years. I know how to drive traffic, so I can help you understand how to get more butts in seats at your events. And then finally, the best bonus of all is a 60-minute big sponsor, bigger profit strategy session with me personally. This is a one-on-one 60-minute session to help you really identify who the perfect sponsors are for your event and figure out how to go and connect with them. So again, that information can all be found at MinetteRiordan.com/sponsors. And that program is only $297, and it's worth over $1,000, and I guarantee you, you'll be able to leverage that $297. You'll be able to recoup that time after time after time by getting the sponsors you want for your events. And finally, step number four, strategy number four, timing is everything. You have to know when to pitch your event. I cannot probably emphasize this strategy enough. The other three pieces are also important, knowing who the perfect sponsors are, knowing exactly what you have to offer them with your super sexy sponsorship package, knowing how to pitch it in a way that feels really good for you and for the potential sponsor. But all of those are insignificant relative to timing. So there's a couple of big mistakes that I see companies and individuals make when they're looking for sponsors for their events. One is not knowing when the right time of year to pitch is, and the second one is not leaving enough lead time to get the sponsors that they want. So 45% of big businesses make all their sponsorship decisions in the last quarter of the year for the coming year. So starting in October of 2015, companies will be deciding where they're going to spend money to sponsor big events, to do high-dollar sponsorships in 2016. So if you're looking at hosting an event in 2016, it's absolutely crucial that you start planning now on identifying the sponsors and putting your sponsorship package together so that you're really ready probably mid to the end of October to start contacting them. So timing is everything. The second aspect of timing is that you have to give your sponsorship campaign plenty of time, months and months. I would say even a year out is not too early to start courting sponsors and building relationships with them. You sell yourself really short if you work on a short time frame. Especially if you're going after companies, it takes a lot of time for them to make decisions. They don't make decisions on a dime. They need turnaround time. It often has to go through multiple channels for approval, especially if we're talking anything $5,000, $10,000, $25,000 or more. So it's really important that you give yourself enough time to get those sponsorships rolling. And then I would add to that the piece again, that I wanted to acknowledge Katrina for talking about the follow-up. So really making sure that you're following up with people consistently. They say it takes 9 to 12 touches to actually convince someone to do business with you. So sending an email and making one phone call is not going to be enough to get the results you want. So knowing when to pitch and really staying with it until you get a no. And I know people get really upset about that and they think, oh my gosh, I'm bugging somebody. You're not bugging them. People are busy. You have to be willing to stay top of mind and stay in front of people in order to get the results that you want. And inside of all of that, I would just end by saying relationships are everything. It's how I built my business, was spending the time to build collaborative partnerships, to really get to know the companies in my area, to join your local chamber of commerce, to look for the companies that really are targeting the same audience you are. So making sure that every opportunity for sponsorship is a win-win for both you and the company. So take your time, be very intentional, specific, and deliberate about who you target, how you target them, and how well you take care of them. And I guarantee you that you will get awesome results. You will get those bigger sponsors and bigger profits. Because one of the things that I learned over and over again, I think I hosted like 10 large expos. So all of them had, I think the fewest vendors we probably ever had was like 75. So these were big events, thousands of attendees, and lots of sponsorships. And what I learned was that the profit in an event comes from your sponsorships. It does not come from your vendors. I was hosting free events, so it certainly wasn't coming from my attendees. And when an event is well planned, you can often cover your costs, depending on your model, by either attendees and or vendors. But your profit really comes from having those sponsors. And if you're hosting an event where the way that you're making money is people selling from your stage and you're sharing that opportunity with them, treat them like sponsors. Treat them like VIPs. You can use this same model to enroll some bigger names to come and participate in your event. So there's multiple models to use this, but it all really stems from knowing who the perfect sponsor is, knowing when to pitch to them, knowing how to pitch to them, and knowing what it is that they want in terms of your event. And I thank you very much for your time this afternoon. Thank you to Tanya, not just for the Public Speakers Association conference last week, but for continually hosting these summits, which give us all an opportunity to showcase our talents and expertise and to stay connected with each other. So thank you for your time today.